Hi, everyone. Alan and Kevin are back, my two superstar coaching clients from the Hyperconscious Podcast. They join me on office hours for another value-packed coaching call. Today's episode is all about shifting your perspective by being vulnerable and accessible to everyone. Let me know if you enjoy these coaching sessions and would like to hear more of them. And don't forget to join me every Friday, free at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. My training is free, free, free. If it's free, it's me, and now it's for you too. You can text me 949-298-2905 to join, or email me and join at david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
These are the best clients that you can have. They are the most prepared. Watch what we can do in a quick 15-minute roundtable coaching session. If they're really good, maybe I'll give them 20. But hey, guys, welcome to your coaching session.
Thank you, as always, for having us. We appreciate you. So we tuned in a little early, so we got some behind the scenes, and I think I got a couple questions from that. So last coaching call, you were very open, authentic, and vulnerable. You cried several times going through parts of your story. When did that level of authenticity come through? Have you always been that authentic, or did you have to lower the ego in order to get to that point?
I was that authentic in different relationships, but never publicly, right? If I was doing what our family would do, a Friday night, what's called a Shabbat dinner, I would be that way with my family because of the comfort level security that my family had always provided with being open, honest, and, you know, sharing my feelings. And I've been able to evolve where, you know, the millions of people, the audience standing in front of me, whatever it may be, that I have been and learned that complete invulnerability that, you know what, I'm connected to everyone and everything, and that it only will help them to share my true self, my true feelings. So if I'm overwhelmed with happiness, sadness, frustration, if I'm still processing some feelings about my father or my mother or my marriage and whatever, or just overwhelmed with pride and joy or whatever it may be, I'm going to share that. And whether it be with my clients or thousands of people I'm speaking in front of, and I have found, you know, my wife teased me. She's like, gosh, she goes, you know, it doesn't work unless you cry. I'm like, no, I'm just being honest. You know, this is how I feel. And I'm overwhelmed sometimes with emotion.
So I have a bunch of stuff written down here, and I kind of want to go off the cuff. So I have a saying that I'll say to people often: the suppression of self-expression leads to depression. And what I've noticed with several clients lately is that sometimes I can tell they're tethered to a past circumstance, a past relationship, or a past self. And I'm guilty of that too, for sure. But what I said to a client recently is, I don't know if you're going to be able to move courageously into the next chapter until you reconcile the last one and untether yourself from those emotions, because I could see them crying and I could see that there's still some unresolved emotions there. How do people understand when that's the case? And then what is the practical approach to untethering yourself from a past self or a past relationship or those emotions from your perspective?
Yeah, so I believe it's in being a ferocious Buddha of understanding when we are in ego-based consciousness, which in other words is either creating a interference or corrosion to the connection of the powerful source of energy or light, or the corrosion or connection to everything else we're connected to. And those are the clearings, the process, the practice of quietness that I'm continually on as a ferocious Buddha to, number one, identify, you know, when I'm processing something that I still need to work on. Two, to stop and learn from it and practice learning from it so that I can, you know, utilize breathing and my higher frequency, my highest source of power, understanding light, love, and lessons in order to move in the right directions. Because a lot of times we're creating more corrosion, interference, void shortages, and obstacles because we are afraid of what we don't know, of what we're not processing. We're afraid to bring up the negative past or the challenges or the pain scares us, right? And once you really grasp that pain is an indicator, right? It's not a punishment. Pain is just an indicator that we have a lesson to learn. So you're talking about emotional pain, but there's, you know, mental, physical, spiritual, and financial pain that is present every day. And when you can shift your mindset to, hey, this is just an indicator that I can move in a better a better direction. I can move to a better situation or make my situation better. There becomes a different energy, a different clearing, a different practice of quietness that comes about that allows you not only to clear and process some of the healing that needs to be done, but accelerate that healing as well.
How do you know whether to change? So if pain is an indicator and you identify that there is a pain and then you find the root cause of that pain, let's say it's financial, how do you know whether to change your perception or to change your behavior? Because I feel like a lot of people are in the habit of just changing their perception over their behavior. And I don't know if that's a good thing, but I want your take on that.
Well, you need to change both, right? First, you need to have the mindset. Then you need to have a heart set. Then you need to have the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum of attention plus intention that aggregated into the coincidence you want. So I use both in order to blend. Number one, I want to make sure that I have the right perception, utilizing a lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, and then effectuate, right? Inventory of my values, asking and attracting, studying my calendar, doing it now, as well as through that practice, practicing ending fear, which is what we were talking about previously. So I think you have to blend both. You can't just have a perception of what you're doing, but you also just can't have the conscious, subconscious continuum of that aggregate of intention. So you can't just pay attention in the right mindset. You just can't give it intention. It's attention plus intention equals the coincidences that we want.
All right. So you always say that you're productive and accessible. How do you go about knowing who to be accessible to? That has to be with some sort of intention for impact or, you know, mastery. Like, what is your intention going into an exchange with somebody?
Yeah, so I want to be accessible in one way or another to everyone. So, for example, that's why I have my free trainings every Friday. That's why I have free content. That's why I have free books, free exercises, free guides. That's why I give my email, david@dmeltzer.com, my text 949-298-2905 to everyone. Now, when I'm accessible, there's layers of accessibility, right? So some people are not at a stage where I can do anything other than help get them started, get them restarted, get them up, get them back up. Some people need to be converted from that into some sort of inspiration. Others need clearing of the inspiration and actually the materialization of monetization occurring, et cetera. So what I've done and continue to do is create a platform that allows me, determinative upon when I have initial contact, how do I initially say, here's how I can help you. Free trainings, book, exercise guide, pitch competition. Maybe you're ready for a private coaching group, and I'm creating more new private coaching groups for people that are in that in-between state where I can't create a guaranteed profitability for the one-on-one coaching like we do here, where I can guarantee value every month and do that. So I have a business advisory program. And so I've created programmatically the ability to be accessible on all platforms to everyone, provide service and value within reason, within the capabilities that I have, but yet still capable for anyone to have that 120 value exchange, whether it's free, whether it's a private group that I've created, whether it's one-on-one coaching or business advisory. I guarantee and mitigate all risk by providing value within that spectrum.
Can I follow up?
Do you mind if I follow up?
So one of the things that Alan and I are both kind of running into and experiencing, and you guys were talking about it previously in the previous section, people not understanding what you do. And we're also understanding that our time is very valuable because we have this focus and we're trying to become the best versions of ourselves. Early on, when you weren't David Meltzer, that is David Meltzer today, and like all over Instagram, YouTube, everywhere, and as big as you are today, how did you navigate letting people down, for lack of a better term? Like, it hurts and it sucks, but I also feel like it's necessary for the journey that we're on. Please correct me if I'm off.
No, I think that goes within the context. Is there is no balance. There's only the balance of your values during the day and prioritization according to your own values to be capable to vote for what you want. Allow people to be disappointed in you, laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you, whatever it may be. Those judgments, conditions, and attacks that we were talking about previously are irrelevant to your journey, because eventually, if you build what you want to build, people will applaud you. Let me give you a pragmatic example real quick. Warren Buffett, when he was my age, a lot of people were down on because he gave nothing to charity. And he believed so much in himself. he was and still is probably one of the most impactful philanthropists I've ever met. But when he was 52, my age, he was more concerned saying that every dollar that I reinvest in myself today will be $1 million, you know, when I'm older, and I'm still going to give everything back. I'm not, you know, I'm giving everything back to help other people. So he had the same why that I have, empowering billions of people. He was just willing to be brave enough to follow and let tons of people down, say no to tons of people, not be accessible to them because of his correct belief of investing back in himself was more valuable to society as a whole, to impact society as a whole, to give back more to society in the long run, knowing that time is infinite. And in 30 years or 30 segments or 20 years or 20 segments, everybody would be applauding him because he would not only give all the billions and billions and billions of dollars that he didn't have when he was 52 back to society for the good, but he'd encourage other billionaires to give at least half of everything they have to society, affecting trillions of dollars, a huge impact. One of the greatest philanthropists of all time, who, believe it or not, was made fun of when he was in his 50s for not being a philanthropist at all and not caring about other people. So use that as a guide that you need to disappoint other people with your own vision, as long as you have the great attention and intention for the coincidences you want. Time's irrelevant.
My goodness. Wow. Wow. Early in our coaching, Dave, this is before Kevin got on here, you mentioned that my relationship to pain, you suggested that I shift it. And you said to me something along the lines of, I was using pain to focus me, but I don't need the pain in order to focus. So you mentioned that pain is an indicator and we have to identify the root cause of it. And you said it's financial, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. A question for you to make this pragmatic for anyone listening and for ourselves here is, what is an indicator of pain in your life right now? And what are you doing about it in terms of your perception and your behavior proactively?
Yeah. So one of the pain is transforming a business from sports marketing, right, to my own personal brand. You know, there are no live events. You know, my Sports One marketing was based off of, you know, initially, you know, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cups, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, Grammys. They don't exist. And so the pain that I have is that the capabilities of the people that work with me, the business structure, or the business partner I have, all of these different things need change, right? They create mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial pain, indicating that I have to change, right? I have to create, with productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, greater opportunities for myself, my family, those most relative to me, meaning the associates I have within the context of the business, my business partner, my community, my country, and the world. And I go down and measure it, but it has caused a considerable amount of emotional pain because nobody likes change except for a wet baby. And no matter how good I get at teaching it, I am human. And so I'm trying to take, you know, minutes of pain and turn them to moments of pain, or days of pain and turn it to hours of pain, or hours to minutes, whatever it may be. My goal is to effectuate and accelerate and grow in a more rapid and accurate manner.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
All right. Wow. We just crossed episode 400 of our show and we have learned so many lessons. It's unreasonable. What is the biggest takeaway, if you had to pick one, that you have learned from the Playbook podcast?
The common denominator. I know I put out a video about this and I'll put out more, but by far the Napoleon Hill lesson that I've learned from all the greats is that there is only one common denominator of all these incredible people that have been on all those episodes. And that's, they must be what they can be. They are in the enjoyment of the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of their own potential. They wake up every morning, whether it's on the field, off the field, in the boardroom, out of the boardroom, in the home, out of the home. They just have a desire to must be what they can be, to accelerate, grow, and expand. And that, to me, is the lesson that I've learned. And I try to convey through inspiration, conversion, and motivation to people that you have to build that muscle, that you must be what you can be.
Can I ask you, is there a version of human being that is not in that place of I must be what I can be? And if so, why do you believe that is, and how can we help them?
Yeah, I think there's three values that lead to that. The first is gratitude, So you need to have the capability to find the light, the love, and the lessons to get through the suck, right? Because there's suck in everything. First 10 minutes suck in working out. There's suck in every job, profession, family, relationship. That you got to have that gratitude there to give you the light, the love, and the lessons. Two, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the means in which unwinds the untrue perception you have. Meaning, when you're focused in on what you don't want, you use forgiveness to re-engineer that into focusing in into what you do want, to find the superpowers, to find the light, the love, and the lessons. Forgiveness is the means. And then finally, accountability, right? When people are living in blame, shame, and justification, creating interferences, voids, shortages, and obstacles, corrosion to the most powerful source of love, light, and lessons, in order to fill and to clear and to practice quietness, to practice ending fear, you have to be in complete control of your heart set and your mindset by being 100% accountable and asking yourself, number one, what did I do to attract this to myself? And number two, what am I supposed to learn from it? If you have all three of those, they will lead to the unbelievable circumstance or the unbelievable personality trait characteristic of you must be what you can be in an expansive experiential growth as well.
Fire. You have another one? I have a quick one.
Okay.
Why, in your perspective, why is it so hard for many people to take feedback and then take credit for their mistakes or their tempers or their egos? Like, why do so many people struggle with that extreme ownership?
Because the feedback's true, right? We're not going to have trouble if it's not true. Mm-hmm. So when we get feedback that's true, or it has a portion or part that's true, or it strikes a nerve that's true, it's going to bug us because it's true and we haven't processed, dealt with it. It'll create pain in our lives because we realize that we have interferences and voids and shortages and obstacles. You know, things aren't as good, or somebody has exposed us for the weakness that supposedly we have and that we have a lesson to learn. So it's the truth in what people say, our own truth, that bothers us the most. And when we can deal with that and learn the lesson of that and realize that, hey, I'm just on my journey to make that better. I may never get to where you want or expect me to be, but I'm just getting better at that every day. I have, you know, this insecurity that exists within me. I have a need, for example, to be offended, right? And I know that, but I'm on a journey so that I don't have as much as a need to be offended as I used to have. So I don't create and accelerate in the wrong trajectory so much of the time, that I'm a more efficient, effective, statistically successful human being, a happier, healthier, and wealthier human being, because I'm practicing being less offended. But I'm still have the need to be offended, angry, separate, avoid, inferior, superior, anxious, all those different things. They happen every day. I'm just trying to make it moments, not minutes.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.